We're going to start off a little bit with understanding some different things. When you look at this chair, where do you see the back of the chair? In the back. But now follow the top rail. Put your eyes on the very top of the center where the hand would be. And follow the rails down into the shadows. And where does the back of the chair go? To the side. Follow your eyes. Follow it down. And you'll watch the back of the chair move to the side. I see the smiles coming out there. Some of you are seeing it. Yeah, it moves, doesn't it? There's no trick or anything like that. Other than sometimes the world tricks us in how we see things. So some of you have seen it. Well, let's go to another one. This one's more interesting. This is just a picture. And what you see in the picture, as your eyes move around, do you see some lines moving back and forth? I see some heads out there. It's just a still picture. I could put this on a piece of paper with ink, and it works. Sometimes our life illusions happen. And the world tells us things that we think are supposed to be so great are really illusions. Look at this pretty girl. Everybody see the pretty girl? Or does anybody see the pretty chick? Oh, I'm talking about the birds that are in the tree. Do you see the birds that are flying? How many of you have seen the pretty girl to start with? How many see the birds now? Okay? Perception. The world sometimes will lie to us and give us different things. Or even sometimes the world to tell us the truth. Can you see Jesus Christ in this picture? Can you see his face? But if you see the picture and sometimes you look, Satan doesn't want us to see the whole picture. It's the same picture, just brought a little closer. Satan does not want us to realize you are righteous. Satan doesn't want us to have that relationship. It doesn't want us to see the whole picture. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that the words that I'm going to speak be your words. The studies that I've studied, Lord, may it be what you want your people to hear. Even more, Lord, I pray that our ears are opened up and that we can hear you, Lord, speaking to us. May we learn something from the Word of God today. And may we put it in action. I pray this for myself, Lord, as well as for the congregation. And I hope that they pray that they can hear from you today, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. It was really unique today. Singh put together a Bible study, not knowing what the sermon was going to be about today. And in the Bible study, he split it up into three parts to have us each study a different part. The part that I was put into was part of the sermon that's going to be later, Romans 8. Isn't that kind of coincidental? Now, Wednesday, I had a Bible study with Dan Pumala, the chair of the elders. And in our Bible study, he says, yeah, I want to talk about a certain Bible verse. And I said, well, any chance it'd be Romans 8, 15 through 17? He goes, yeah, it is. What are the odds that happening? That God wants us to hear this message today. And we talked again about 1 John 3. God does not make mistakes. Let's be clear on that. When we think things just happen out of coincidence, that's not coincidence. That's the Holy Spirit and God working in your life. Pay attention. He is speaking to you. Open your ears so that you can hear. Because coincidences, that's what the world wants us to believe. But the truth is God's working. So let's prepare ourselves to hear God's word. 1 John 3:1. If you have a Bible, please open it up. Before the reason is, there's multiple translations out there as well. If I would make a mistake, I want you to correct me. I'm human. Some of you that may not know, reading is not my favorite thing to do. So if I read something incorrectly, feel free to correct me. It's one of my disabilities. How great is the love of the Father that lavishes on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. You are children of God. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, Jesus, we shall be like Him, Jesus, for we shall see Him as He is. For everyone who has his hope in Him, Jesus, purifies himself, you, the Christian, just as He is pure. Jesus Christ is pure. And by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John is telling us He makes you pure. He washes away the sins of yesterday and of today and makes us clean again. He makes us righteous. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that you are righteous? Do you believe the God that made all things, that made the world, that made you righteous? Just think about that. We didn't make ourselves righteous. He made us righteous. He made us pure. That's why when we have sin in our life, it causes us difficulty. And we want to clean that up. He has called us, the verses tell us. We're being called. Do we accept that call? He purifies us and makes us clean. The atonement of dying on the cross. He made us clean through His blood and shedding of the blood. He was the perfect sacrifice. He makes us look like Him. Through our life, we find that people will say, I see Christ in you, Tana. I've seen you change. Because Christ starts dwelling in us. And as we serve the Lord, others can see it in us as well. And they don't understand it if they're from the world. He reunites us with the Father. Jesus Christ was the only one that could talk to the Father in our behalf. Jesus said, God, Father, their sins have been forgiven. I was sacrificed. He makes us brothers. Did you realize that Jesus Christ died to make us His brothers and sisters? He gave up some of Himself. That's a man that gives. He gave His only life. Well, some of the commentaries wrote different things. And as I read the commentaries, the Son indeed calls us. He knocks on our door. You've probably seen this picture. I've even seen sculptures made. And each one that's made properly and correctly, you will see no door handle. Because the image is God is knocking. He's not going to open that door. That's our job, to invite Him in. There's no door handle here. But our job is to open the door and open our hearts and give us, ourselves, to Him. Jesus is the one that gives us the power. He is the deity, the Son of God, the atonement for our sins to make us righteous, to be sons and daughters of Christ, of sons and daughters of God, brother to Christ. And this doesn't last just for here on earth to say, you know what, John Ives, you are a good man. I see Christ in you. It's not going to last in his life just here on earth. It's going to last for eternity. Our brothers and sisters here will be with us forever. He has called us. And our sins and our guilt, that is one thing, problems with Christians. How many of you guys carry guilt with you? You shouldn't be carrying guilt. For Jesus has forgiven you. That guilt is not for you to carry anymore. Leave it at the cross. Amen. Thank you, sister. I like to hear some good amens. People are engaged. I like to see smiles. I like to see heads nodding. Because we are lied to, and sometimes we accept the lies of Satan. And John just got telling us that we are the son and daughters of God. We shouldn't accept that guilt. In fact, the world likes us to look at corruption and the things that are not of Christ. And then when we stand up and say, no, I am not going to do that. Or if you're in a workplace, some of us have seen where bad jokes are told and people laugh at them and we decide not to laugh. And they say, why don't you laugh? Well, I'm a Christian. I don't believe in it. The world shuns us. We shouldn't worry about that. For John tells us, God loved us so much that He lavished. What does the word to mean to you for lavish? How many of you have moms? Okay, you better raise your hand or I want to know how you got here. Okay, we all have mothers. And when we were babies, we were lavished with love. When we cried, we were cared for. We understand what lavished is. But another commentary writes that we need to look at, we are His children. When we look at we're somebody's children, it's pretty important. Because we're part of that family. And we got to look at our sins are being forgiven and forgotten. What a Bible verse that you brought up, Gloria. Psalms, what a piece that she brought. It collates with this sermon. Our sins are where? They're gone. From east to the west. So that we can understand that they're gone a long ways. And they're steep going away from us because the sins are gone from us. Only through the blood of Jesus. The world doesn't understand this. The world cannot understand when we want to follow a God. It doesn't make sense to them. Because isn't this all about us? About me having fun? I mean, how many of you guys would have listened to me have a sermon back when I was 20 years old? When I thought it was great. Andy's going, I wouldn't have listened to him at all. And you're right. My wife knew me at 20 years old. Would I have made a good pastor then? Did I even make a very good husband? She told me at one time that I made a rotten husband. She didn't even like me the first year we were married. The first year we were married, I'm a workaholic. You know, you start work at 5 a.m. And then after you work until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, your normal job, then you come home, have a snack, and you work another 8 hours. Right? Well, I had her at 20 years old shoveling rock off the back of a truck. Because I'm too cheap to have somebody else do the work. So we were putting landscaping around the house. And when we weren't landscaping, we were fixing something else or building something. We come from two different lifestyles. Her idea is different. She wanted more relationship. We're different people. But through Christ, He made us one. And through that, we need to understand each other. And 20 years ago, I didn't know God like I know God today. That relationship has grown deeper, as well as my relationship with my wife has grown deeper. I've learned to slow down and enjoy life and spend time with her. And I still have room to grow there. We're always growing. We're going to have some plants here for Easter. But what do plants do or trees do? What do? They grow. But at some point, if they're not growing and the tree's not growing or somebody cuts it down, Paul, it stops growing. My question to you is, where are you in your relationship? The God that created you is lavishing love on you. Are you growing closer to Him? Are you opening up the Word of God? Do you give back to the Father what He has given to you? We're given talent, things that we're good at. Do we share that in the body? It's a mystery to the non-believer why people would share their gifts. Why they would give their money to a church. Technically, you're not giving the money to the church. You're giving your money to God. And He uses it through the church. A third commentary said, the Father bestowed upon us Himself. Because you believe in the Trinity, Jesus is part of the Trinity. He has given Himself to bring us home. And that we should be looked at, that this is about being. Being the son or daughter of Christ. You have a responsibility as being a Christian. It isn't about give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Because isn't that what the world is saying? I want the newest phone. I want the nicest car. I need the nicest clothes. In fact, thank you, David. I'm not a fashion statement. But David gave me his 2 cents worth after my wife already told me. He says, that tie you're wearing is obnoxious and it doesn't match your shirt. And your shirt and your pants really don't match. Can't you dress better than that? So David is now my personal, man to tell me where I'm dressing properly. I'm just going to start wearing more flannel. That always seems to fit. But we should have laughter in Christ. Amen for flannel, even. Yeah, especially in the church today, a little chilly. Flannel would have been nice. But we need to remember, we have a responsibility of being a son or daughter of Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ, it isn't just about us anymore. It's about the family. The word that we've been called. We've been called His children. We have an honor to stand up. We need to look different from the world. And walk different. Speak different. Because we are the sons and daughters of Christ. Does the TV, video games, other things in your life come before God? I'll be honest. I have some people that can testify to this. I love to work. You've heard that earlier. But I like to get my hands in things. And reading and writing are right up there with going to the dentist. Right, Brett? We talked about I would rather go to the dentist than write a sermon. But I love being with the God that teaches me. And when I get with Him and I'm in the Word and I'm growing in the Word and I start to write the sermon, I enjoy it. But I also need support and help. My writing is poor. So people sometimes will help support me and clean up my writing so that I can serve the best I can to you. For God wants us to invest into Him and into each other. The commentary goes and says, for it's not the pleasures that which of this world we need to ban, but we need to be selfless. Not about us. For Jesus and God were not selfless to bring us back to the family, were they? No, the commentary is very clear. God gave Himself as well as Jesus, so that we can be back with the Father. Amen? So often, we look at It doesn't matter if we're looking at praying on our knees or going through the motion. Because going through the motion isn't a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Coming to church, looking at your watch saying, hey, hour and 15 minutes, I've been with God this week. Being with God isn't just Sunday morning, folks. Being with God is every day of the week. How we spend our lives. A smile in a grocery store, just loving someone else. Being a son or a daughter to the Almighty God that serves all these things to us. His job is not to serve us, but He has lavished His love on us. What is our job to do in return? If He shows us this, what should we be doing? Serving. Loving others as Christ has loved us. Amen? And are we doing that in our life? When somebody sees me today, and I've had people, even my own brothers, say, you're not the same man you were. In fact, when I did some marriage counseling with you guys, I said, today, hopefully, you will see who I am. And 10 years from now, you will see a better man. And I talked about, in your marriage counseling, about how together now you're going to grow, but I want you to grow even deeper in 10 years. For God so loved, He gave His only Son. What was this for? John is telling us that you have changed by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? You have changed so much that the chains of this world that bind you, that keep you, that are sending you to hell, have been broken. And the lavish love. Just think of God's love raining down on you. And entering inside of you. God's love. And how many of you can believe this? That when you see Jesus, He's going to say, good job. Good job, my faithful servant. Just think of them words. God Almighty and Jesus His Son. And He's made us pure so we can be with the Father. Good job. Good job, Ruth. Good job, Jim. I am so excited. I will be a bawling baby. As Jesus is there saying, good job, my faithful servant, John. Because what a greater thing to have happen than the love and acceptance of the Father. As I was studying John, one of the commentaries said that, in fact, two of them talked about this, is that Romans 8:5 through 15, Paul talks about the Spirit. And it's very similar. So this is being supported as well. The Spirit you receive, first of all, open your Bibles to Romans 8:15 through 17, because I want you guys to keep me in check. It's healthy. Do not just trust the person teaching you. Be wise to have the Word of God to be what you trust. Don't trust a man or a woman teaching. Trust the Word of God to teach you correctly. Romans 5:15 through 17. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Amen? And also it says, John 1:12 through 13, I thought was very interesting. To all did receive Him, people that accepted Jesus Christ, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human dissension, or a husband's will, but be born of God, to be born again. Man did not do this. We are not the ones doing this. We are just the beneficiaries and the ones that are blessed. We aren't in control. God is in control. All we can be willing to do is serve. For it goes on in 17. Now, if we are children that have accepted Jesus Christ, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering, in order that we may also share in His glory. The glory of being reunited with the Father. So let's look a little bit about our review here. Jesus gave Himself to make us brothers and sisters. Amen? God loved us so great, He adopted us. Amen? We are His son and daughters. Amen? God lavished His love on us. Some of us that are, amen, some of us that are a little bit older can really speak to this. As we get older, our eyes are opened up and things of the world aren't so important. And we can feel the lavish. You'd agree on that? I see Elaine over there going, yep, yep. We can feel all the blessings. And if we accept Jesus Christ, because we have to be the ones to accept. Our parents can't do it for us. But when we accept Jesus Christ, He reunites us with God. The God that created all things, back in Genesis, the garden that we walked with God, Adam and Eve. Jesus purifies us and makes us clean. Do you feel clean? If you don't feel clean, ask for God to help cleanse you. Because you have been cleansed by Jesus Christ. But you need to ask, maybe if you don't feel clean, to God, take the feeling of unrighteousness. Take the baggage and the sins that I hold on to and take them away from me. I leave them at the cross. For Satan does not want you to feel clean. Because then he has a hold. Do not give him a place of hold. Give it up. Let Christ be the one in hold of you. So why doesn't the world understand us and the way we live? Because they do not know the truth. They don't know the truth, the Word of God, the Bible. They don't understand what truth is. They don't understand that we are supposed to help others. And the great lengths that God has done to save us. Sanctification. Hopefully, some of you know the word. And if you don't, you're going to learn it around here. Sanctification is taking that old pastor that wasn't a pastor at 20 years old. He was a lost young man. His name was John Herbus. He thought achieving things and riches were a way that he can prove that he is a man. And God softened his heart. And sanctification is working and changing and molding and being, when you accept Jesus Christ, being the clay. Are you the clay? And are you to let God mold you and work with you and build you up for how you are to serve Him? And our sanctification keeps working and changing. And as we grow to be more like Christ and people see Christ in us, we'll also see that we become more pure. And it's not completed until Judgment Day, when Jesus' blood washes us fully clean. Because He is the atonement for our sins. And on that day, you will hear one of two things. I promise you, you will hear one of two things from Jesus. This one I don't want you to hear. Because He may say that if you do not accept Him, He may say this to you. Away from me, for I never knew you. What would you do if you stand in front of Jesus Christ and He says, away from me, I never knew you. You didn't have a relationship with Him. Some will say, but God, Jesus, they're going to plead, they're going to cry, and they're going to say, but I did good things in your name. I healed people. No, you didn't heal them. God healed them. But I did things in your name. I told people about you. But you didn't have a personal relationship with me. I believe it's John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and light. There is no way except through Jesus. Yes, amen. So, don't fool yourself. Don't let Satan fool you. Because you're going to hear one of two things on Judgment Day. Away from me, I never knew you. Or you're going to hear what I would like every person in this church to hear, and every person that is a friend of ours. Good job, my faithful servant. Come on home. That's what I want for this church, where Jesus Christ welcomes us in, and we, with other members of the body, will spend eternity with Christ. Amen? Eternity with God, lavishing His love on us. Isn't that much better than just getting by? Knowing that we have that personal relationship and that love, and that we are going to be together. And people that have died already that have personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we will be able to see. There's some people here that I know that have lost ones. We're going to be reunited with them. What a glorious time it will be. So John has told us very clearly, you that have accepted Jesus Christ are the sons and daughters, and you are righteous. Do not let the world tell you different. You should be proud to be a Christian. Amen? And being proud to be a Christian, you shouldn't be shy to hold it in. And you shouldn't be ashamed, because if you're ashamed and want to be quiet about it, Satan is lying to you. And if he tells you you are unworthy and that you don't matter and that your sins are so great that they cannot be forgiven, Satan is a liar. And God tells you the truth. And John just told us, Jesus is making you purer. So who are you going to believe? Satan or God the Father that has made you His children? Let me close in prayer and the band can come up and close us. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time to preach and share the Word of God. There's so much, Lord, that You put on my heart that I want to teach, and there's only so much time. I pray for this body that not just on Sunday morning that they hear the Word of God. I pray that God lives within them throughout the week, and that as they stand up for their righteousness that You have given them, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is with them. Until we come back together, Lord, I pray that the body unites and becomes strong, and that we know that we are sons and daughters of the living God. Amen.